So I don't know about you, but this last month, we've had a lot of escalating chaos. And the coronavirus obviously has impacted everyone. I know personally that my world's been impacted. I have a daughter who's being quarantined because she probably has it down in D.C. I have another daughter home from college because her college has sent everyone home. And my potential retirement, well, it's been affected. The market swings are going up and down and all over the place. It's unnerving at times for many folks. All of us have been impacted. All of us. Schools are closed, activities are canceled, businesses are sending people home, and some are making them work from home, which is at least they're working. Some are just being sent home and wondering what they're going to do for their next paycheck. There's also a legitimate health issue that's impacted many, many people. Our lives, our routines have been altered in ways that just unsettle us. And it's during times like this that we as believers need to remember that we have a Savior who's able to bring us through chaotic times. During times of fear and anxiety, we need to remember four things about God that we have talked about many times here at Warrington Fellowship Church. We need to remember who God is. We need to remember first that God is powerful. The psalmist says this, let me read it. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. Psalm 135, 5 and 6. We need to remember that God has the power to do anything, that he answers to no one, and that he is able to address our situations, especially this situation. We may think that things are out of control and chaotic, but we need to remember that God is greater than all of this. And that in the midst of our deepest fears and our deepest worries, that God is still in charge. The greatest evidence of this is the cross, where God demonstrated his power by defeating sin and death and rising from the grave. At a time when the disciples thought all was lost, that everything was destroyed and gone, God says, no way. I'm in charge. I am greater than this. And we need to remember that during these times of chaos. We also need to remember that God is trustworthy. Psalm 62 says, my salvation and honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And then there's this word Selah, which means stop and ponder. God is our refuge. He is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust. He is dependable, and he never changes. We can depend on the government. We try to depend on the markets. We depend on people. We depend on ourselves to be a refuge, only to find that we are asking people and things to do something that only God can do. I remember when I was working at a machine shop, and I was asked by one of our employees to take a very fragile model train up to the front and give it to somebody in the office. And it wasn't that big a deal. I walked up. It was a special heirloom. And the guy said, could you take this up front and give it to so-and-so? It would mean a lot to me. And I said, sure. He says, be very careful. Be very careful. It's fragile. And you know me. Oh, yeah, sure. So I grab it, turn around, and two steps later, I'm dropping it all over the place. See, the reality is no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, I'm going to drop things. And people and things and stuff that we trust in this world, they're going to drop. However, you and I have a God who will never drop us. He will never let us slip and fall from his hand. We have a God who's trustworthy. We can put our trust in him. We also need to know that he's faithful. Psalm 33 says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Jesus is always with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. I remember going to a football game with a friend, and we were going to a Monday night pro football game. We were both really excited. We're standing out in the stands watching the game when all of a sudden a storm came by and the heavens opened up and it poured cats and dogs all over us. And as we're standing there watching the game, as the game was going on, people started heading to the exits, and my buddy's looking at me going, "This is nuts." So he runs to the exit and he gets out of there and he leaves me standing in the rain. See, when the storms and the winds came by, he couldn't take it. He was done. But you and I have a God that no matter what the storm, no matter what the winds, no matter what we are facing, he is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You and I need to remember that God is powerful, that he is trustworthy, that he is faithful, and that he is good. Psalm 145:9 says, the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. And this is really cool, that you and I have a God that desires our highest good. He understands our hearts, and he looks upon us with compassion. So I don't know where you are today in this whole mess, let's call it that. Some of you are wondering why we're going through any of this craziness. Some of you are worried about what's going to happen. Some of you are just wrestling with, what does this all mean? And I want you to know that you have a God who is powerful, trustworthy, he's faithful, but he is good and he's compassionate. You can share your heart with him. You can be vulnerable with him. You can be transparent with him, knowing that he loves you, that he treasures you, and he is with you. So these four incredible truths are important to us. And as a result of God being powerful, trustworthy, faithful, and good, we can respond differently than the world, right? We have something that we can depend upon when crises come into our lives. And so this week I was reading an article, and I came across three ways that believers should respond differently when crises occur. And I thought this was really awesome. How do we as believers in Christ respond when we come into a crisis? And so there were three things that I was reading about, and I thought they were awesome. First, as believers, we live by faith. We do not live by fear. John 14:27, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." God is faithful and he is in control. When Jesus went to the cross, what seemed senseless, God was using for our good. We need to live by faith. God has a plan, even the most challenging and difficult of circumstances. I have a friend of mine who was just diagnosed with cancer. And you know what? What's interesting, he was diagnosed with cancer, and here's what happened. His family was upset, and they began to just really become fearful. His friends, like me, got worried and began to just think of what could possibly happen here and just begin to fret and to worry and to be sad and all of these things and to just lose control, become fearful of what's ahead. But this young man did something different. He didn't ignore it. He didn't, you know, just let it lie as something that was insignificant. He took it seriously, but he took it from a perspective that we as believers need to have. He understood that because we have a God who is powerful, trustworthy, faithful, and good, I will live by faith, not by fear. that in the midst of even the biggest of trials, I have hope because I have a God who loves me and cares for me. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We're to live by faith, not by fear. And we are to be sacrificial, not selfish. Philippians 2 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In times of panic, people often forget about the needs of others. As believers, we need to follow the example of the early church, who in crisis and persecution sacrificially gave to those in need. We need to be sacrificial and giving and caring, especially at times like this. And our sacrifice needs to be a response to what Jesus has done for us and how he is working in our lives. In Acts 2, we see that the disciples were living differently than the rest of the world. It said that in verse 44 and 45 that all believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. We need to be givers. There are going to be times when someone is going to need you. There's going to be places where you are going to need to sacrifice and give, because people are hurting. I remember when Hurricane Irene came by, and at the time, our house was in a shambles, and the power went out, and the rain was coming in, and our sub pump was done, and my wife and I were bailing our sub pump out all night long. We were at 12 hours of bailing, and we called someone we knew, who was a believer who loved us and cared for us and knew how to fix things. And we said, John, how do we work this whole sub pump thing? Is there a way that we can get this sub pump to work even though we have no power? And he heard our need. He heard our cry. He heard our desperation. In the midst of a hurricane in which everyone was told to stay in which roads were closed, and as crazy as it sounds, there was somebody who had killed somebody in our neighborhood or in our county running loose, and we were all supposed to stay in. And John got in his car, and he brought a generator. In our midst of great need, someone was sacrificial and giving and reflected Christ in a way that we needed to see at that moment. How about you? How does God want to use you during this time of great fear and anxiety? How can you be an encouragement? How can you sacrifice and give to others, especially with the unusual circumstances we have of being in feeling like lockdown? I don't know what God's going to call you to do, but we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give as Christ has given to us. So we need to live by faith, not by fear. We need to remember to be sacrificial, not selfish. And the last thing we need to do is we need to shine the light of Christ, not hide it. In Matthew 5, from the Sermon on the Mount, from our sermon flipped, we read, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In times of crisis, people are looking for hope and the foundation that you and I can have in Christ. And we need to be ready to share that. When people are looking for answers, we need to live like Christ and we need to proclaim Christ. When things are dark, the light of Christ shines brightly through people who are living for him. When I was in Cambodia, in Alicia's now hometown, actually not, she's in Phnom Penh, but when I was in Praya Vea, one of the things I loved to do was to go out in the middle of the night. Because when I went out in the middle of the night, I could look up and I could see the stars. And the darkness was so great that the stars and the lights from those stars would come blazing through. And the look of those stars was amazing. And the brightness of those stars was brighter than I've ever seen in my life. And in the same way, in the greatest of darkness, the light of Christ that shines through His people cannot be missed. The light of Christ shining through you and I during times of crisis. Will you be a light in a world that feels awful dark at times? I remember at Warren Fellowship Church, there was a time when the power went out in all of most of Warrington, and it was in the middle of winter. And unlike this winter, it was freezing out. And God did this crazy divine thing in which all the houses and neighborhoods around us were out of power. However, Warrington Fellowship Church had power. And as a result, we had heat. And so what we did as a church, and I remember Scott doing this, we just opened our doors and we just let people in. And we let them hang around. We let them sit in Fraser Hall. At the time it was Fellowship Hall, and they just hung out there. And they just kept warm. And I remember people just coming to us and saying, man, thank you. Thank you for being willing to do all of this. But we were doing. We were being a light. We were being a light in a dark world. We had the opportunity, because of that experience, because of that crisis, to not only care for our community, but also share the great news of the gospel. I am guessing this, that in the midst of all of this, you will be given an opportunity somewhere, somehow, to share the gospel with someone. It's my prayer that you'll do that. It's my prayer that you will live by faith, not by fear. That you will be sacrificial, not selfish. And that you will shine the light of Christ wherever you are. These are unusual and uncertain circumstances. And in the midst of it, we need to never forget who God is. He is powerful. He is trustworthy. He is faithful and He is good. And because we know who God is, may we live by faith, not by fear. May we live sacrificially, not selfishly. And may we shine the light of Christ, not hide it. Because the world needs that light now more than ever. May God use Warrington Fellowship Church and the incredible guests who have joined us today, even during these crazy times, to glorify God and impact people. Thank you for joining us. Let's pray, and we're going to close out our time together with a couple of things. Father, I want to thank you for being here with us. I thank you, I really do, for the reality that in the midst of a chaotic world, in an uncertain world, that we have a certain God, a rock, a refuge that we can turn to, that we can depend upon, that we can trust. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for loving us. And dear Lord, I ask this, that you would just guide us now, that you would encourage us, that you would give us hope, that you would give us joy and peace. Father, I ask that you would lead us. Lord, we're not together today, and that stinks. But somehow you've enabled us to connect in a way that somehow helps us know that we're still family and we're still close. Lord, thank you for that. May we leave here today
leave here today. May we in our homes today celebrate and glorify you in your name. And may we bring joy to your heart as we live well for you. May we be faithful. May we be sacrificial. And may we be lights, even in our own home, if that need be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.